Wrestling Insomniac Podcast. My name is Mike. I got a lot to talk about this week, so I'm really just going to dive right into it. There's been a lot of wrestling going on. There's a big show coming up. First off, I do want to address... let's get the sadness out of the way straight away. August 21st, we lost another great luchador competitor in Villano 3 of the famous Villano family. He wrestled in... WCW a couple of times during the Luchador excursion, or yeah. Anyways, so he sadly passed away on August 21st. Also on August 22nd, at only 57 years old, Chris Champion passed away. And Chris Champion is a guy you may not recognize the name, or you may not recognize. Straight away who he is. He was a stalwart down in the Jim Crockett promotion era. He started his wrestling career in 1984, Florida Championship Wrestling, and then later, like I said, Jim Crockett Promotions. He's featured in the NWA Wonder Ranma card set. He went on to wrestle in the Continental Wrestling Association and the USWA, and then he even had a couple years stint out there in Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling. Then he came back to WCW in 1993, and he was wrestled under the name Yoshi Kwan. He was a Asian fella, and he was managed by Harley Race, and yeah, so anyways, he wore some makeup to make him look Asian, and he feuded with Cactus Jack, and they had a singles match at Fall Brawl 1993. And he lost to Cactus, and he kind of was out of WCW not too long after that. And then he wrestled across the independent scene for quite a bit. And unfortunately, he never made it huge big. And it's kind of a shame. But he was a great hand in the ring. He was a great worker, as they say. And sadly, he died at the very young age of 57. I've read it's from a stroke, but I don't know if that's for certain or not. But it's kind of sad that he did pass away. We've lost many great wrestlers this year, sadly. And boy, it has been a lot from the end of July through here to the end of August. So anyhow, sadness is out of the way. Let's talk about some professional wrestling. I think some really exciting news for me is the fact that the NWA has announced that they're going to be doing a 70th anniversary show on October 21st in Nashville, Tennessee at the fairgrounds. And it's going to air live on Fit TV, so we'll be able to watch it. Since Billy Corgan took over the promotion in May of 2017, he hasn't promoted an NWA show. He's just promoted matches featuring the NWA Heavyweight Championship on other people's cards, as well as the YouTube series 10 Pounds of Gold. Now, this show is a co-promotion with Jeff Jarrett and his Global Force Wrestling, or Global Force Entertainment, whatever you want to call it. But it is an NWA show. And again, it's their 70th anniversary show. And they're going to be relaunching a second title. So the NWA will officially be recognizing two championships after the show in October. And this singles title is the NWA National Heavyweight Championship. So this title was first launched in 1980 by Austin Idol. It did suffer 10 years of dormancy. And then... was defended quite regularly until all NWA titles were vacated. Wikipedia has it listed as February of 2018. I don't know what the official date is that all these title holders were stripped. And my assumption would be is that when the NWA's affiliates program ended in October 2017, and that's when Billy Corgan really started pushing Tim Storm as their champion and coming out there with stuff. I'd have to say that's probably when all those titles were officially stripped from the title holders. Anyways, I wrote a nice blog piece about the national title. You can check it out on the WrestlingInsomniac.com webpage. All right, NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. I have a couple notes about that. To me, between the Brooklyn show and the SummerSlam show, I enjoyed Brooklyn better. you know, Matt Riddle made an appearance after the EC3 Velveteen Dream match. He seemed pretty excited to see himself on TV. It was pretty awesome. And it also seems odd to me that they always have Ronda Rousey, who is firmly implanted as a babyface on Raw, cheering and excited for the very firmly planted heel, Shayna Baszler. It just seems odd to me that they would show that. For me, TakeOver Brooklyn was a tremendous card. Ricochet against Adam Cole was amazing. The Mustache Mountain against the Undisputed Era for the tag title was tremendous. And then the main event, Johnny Gargano against Tommaso Ciampa in the Last Stand Manning match. Just a phenomenal friggin' match. Yet another great match in these guys' feud. And even to me, the quote-unquote worst match on the card, Velveteen Dream against EC3, was still enjoyable. And then the ladies put on a heck of a match, one of Baszler's best matches, I think, to date so far. And we got a new women's champion in NXT. We got a new North American champion in NXT. And really go out of your way to go watch TakeOver, because TakeOver Brooklyn was pretty damn awesome. And this may be the last TakeOver Brooklyn we have in succession, because after... Well, I'll get into it later. Well, no, screw it. I'm going to get into it now. WWE is moving SummerSlam. They spent 6 years at the Staples Center in L.A. They just spent the last 4 years at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And now in 2019, the Scotiabank Arena, formerly known as the Air Canada Center in Toronto, Ontario, will be hosting TakeOver, SummerSlam, and Raw and SmackDown. Four consecutive nights of WWE action there in Toronto. So... good for Canada. Good for them there, you know, for catching SummerSlam. I mean, it's basically been stagnant for the last decade between two cities, East Coast and West Coast here, so it's nice to see it moving around again. New Japan Pro Wrestling has basically been on a hiatus since the end of the G1 tournament, which was awesome. They've taken a break. Their next show is September 7th, I believe. So for right now, they're taking a break. Which, you know, after running those shows that they did for this G1 Climax tournament, I can see why the company would take a break. Anyways, moving on. SummerSlam. I didn't dislike SummerSlam. I actually found the card to be pretty good. I did take some pretty detailed notes on SummerSlam as I watched it. Pre-show, Vegas and Alma defeated Rusev and Lana. Mixed tag, Vega pinned Lana with her feet on the ropes. As good as Almas has been at the end of his NXT run, I hate that he has to start over on the main roster. I hate when anyone comes with the main roster to make them start over, because it just seems redundant. Cruiserweight champion Cedric Alexander pinned Drew Gulak. Maybe it's me, but when Alexander came in, he was hot and fresh. Cruiserweight Classic, he was unbelievable. But I really feel like his act has gotten stale, and the title run has really been uneventful. The finish was creative, and the match was good because of Gulak. In the last pre-show match, the Raw Tag Team Champs, the B-Team, defeated the Revival. So I want the Revival to win in the worst way, and I love that they hit the Shatter Machine straight on Axel so fast that right there at the beginning of the match. But I didn't like the finish because my team didn't win. But I did like the finish because it was creative. Dawson has Axel in a small package. Dallas falls over them, getting hotshotted on the top rope, and then he accidentally reverses the pin. So, opening SummerSlam Intercontinental title match, Rollins defeated Seth Ziggler. Wait, Seth Rollins defeated Dolph Ziggler for the title. Not a bad match. Solid at times. I just didn't care about anyone involved in the match. I mean, the biggest pop was for Ambrose DDTing McIntyre on the floor. The New Day defeated the Bludgeon Brothers by DQ in a SmackDown Tag Team title match. I thought it was a decent match until the shitty ending. And then, of course, a couple nights later on SmackDown, we get new tag champs. Braun Strowman squashed Kevin Owens. That friggin' chokeslam on the base of the ramp, that was just damn. Like, just damn. That should have been a DQ. Shouldn't have been, technically. But, what do I know? I mean, I love Owens, but I'm not unhappy about this match. I mean, he lost fast. But he's a good enough talker, and he won't lose any heat over this. I don't think. Not at all. Charlotte Flair won the SmackDown Women's Championship. And I'm glad Charlotte won, but I hated that Carmella wasn't pinned. I did love Becky turning on Charlotte at the end, post-match. That was awesome. The crowd loved it. This continued on SmackDown this past week as well, when Becky called Charlotte a bitch and got a huge pop for that as well. I'm really digging heel Becky. Samoa Joe defeated AJ Styles by DQ. I don't like AJ's wife and daughter being involved. This match was fantastic, but I really just didn't like the finish. I mean, a DQ is one thing, or a count out, or no contest, or whatever, but to have, like, you know, them Joe talking to AJ's wife and his daughter and bringing them into the storyline. I mean, I get why, but I just, you know, didn't do much for me. Miz pinned Daniel Bryan. This fucking pissed me off. The hype video was excellent. The match itself was fantastic, but I just... whatever. Finn Balor squashed Baron Corbin. Another squash match. It was weird to see two squash matches like this on one card, but it was a great match. I mean, for the... for a little bit of time that they put into that match, or given for that match, it was... really very good. So, United States champ Shinsuke Nakamura pinned Jeff Hardy. Decent match, and I'm sure that they're not done with this feud yet. The knee to the face after Miss Swanton on the apron, though. Oh, good lord. The Swanton on the apron in itself, but yeah, so. Ronda Rousey beat Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's title. I found this match pretty entertaining. I mean, sincerely, Ronda has been way better in the ring than I thought she would be from the first time she came in till now. So it does continue to surprise me, but yeah, I found it very enjoyable. Let's see here. And then the main event, time for the Universal title. Before the bell, Braun states that he's going to be cashing in when this match is over. And then eventually Roman Reigns wins. The crowd roars. Braun never catches in. Because Lesnar beat up Braun Strowman at ringside first. And yeah. Then he got hit with a spear. And then Roman Reigns got the 3 count. And then they faded to black. And I was like, oh. I can only imagine how pissed off the live crowd was when... and they posted that. And they found out that Braun wasn't going, not posted, but when they found out that the show was over, I mean, and that Braun wasn't going to be challenging for the title. I wonder how irate they were, because I know there's a lot of people that were pretty, that are pretty annoyed that Reigns still has a title. Yeah, but anyway, so that's about it. SummerSlam was solid, like I said. Very surprised. It's the best show WWE's had in a long time. That's not an NXT show. So, worth checking out. So, and then, well, okay, the next night on Raw, the Shield reunited and attacked Strowman. So, is Strowman a heel? Is he a babyface? I mean, yeah. Didn't make sense to me on that side of things. Unless they're turning the Shield heel, which I sincerely doubt. All right, so this past Saturday night, August the 25th, Lucha Libre AAA Worldwide, or just AAA, had Triple Mania 26. And luckily for me, I found that Twitch TV was airing it for free with English commentary provided by Matt Stryker and Vampiro for this show. So, yeah, it was... this is a damn good show. I was surprised just how good it was. I really enjoyed it. It's hard to tell you what exactly... Just try to watch it. Definitely watch Lady Shawnee against Fabi Apache in the Mask vs. Hair match. Holy shit. I mean, sincerely, holy shit. Or the six-man street fight between Mercenaros and El Texico Jr., Rey Escorpión and La Máscara against Joe Leader, Murder Clown, and Pagano. Talk about a friggin' match. It was great. We got a brand new mega champion as Jeff Jarrett defended the title in a fatal four-way and was defeated for his title when Phoenix won over Jeff Jarrett, Brian Cage, and Rich Swann. This was a decent match, too. I enjoyed it quite well. And then the main event, a mask versus mask cage match. LA Park, El Hijo del Fantasma, Pentagon Jr., and Psycho Clown were all involved in the match. Pentagon Jr. escaped the cage first, and then Psycho Clown escaped the cage, and it comes down to LA Park and El Hijo del Fantasma, and it also goes from being just a cage match where you escape to win to being a one fall to the finish pinfall submission type match. And it was very good, very, very good. And who won surprised me, and then who lost there and had to unmask. It was a very emotional moment. It was very cool. It was very well done. So, and then yeah, there's some other great matches. I'm not going to go through them all, but you know, if you can check out Triple Mania 26, it's definitely worth your time. Especially if you like blood and gore, because there is a lot of blood on this show. So All In is finally happening this Saturday night in outside Chicago. The card is shaped up, and this is what we got. Your commentators are Don Callis, Excalibur, Ian Riccaboni, and Timmy Baltimore. Your ring announcers are Bobby Cruz and Justin Roberts. Right. Interviewers, Sean Mooney. That's right, Sean Mooney. And Alicia Tout. Referees include Earl Hebner, Jerry Lynn, Paul Turner, Rick Knox, and Todd Sinclair. So a good representation of independents and former headliners and former WWE guys or whatever on the entry there. So for your support staff, if you will, ring announcing. Matches themselves. On the pre-show, we've got a couple matches. We've got the Briscoe Brothers against SoCal Uncensored in a tag team title match. And the SoCal Uncensored consists of Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky in this case. And then we have the Over-Budget Battle Royal, a 15-person Battle Royal determining the number one contender for the Ring of Honor title that Jay Lethal will defend against the winner that evening. And so far announced, we have Jordan Grace, Moose, Rocky Romero, Colt Cabana, Ethan Page, Brian Cage, Billy Gunn, Jimmy Jacobs, Marco Stunt, Brad Cutler, and Punisher Martinez. So still need a couple more guys to be added to that. Also on the card, Nick Aldis defending the NWA World Championship against Cody Rhodes. I mean, phew, talk about spectacular. Okada against Marty Scurll. Joey Janela against Hangman Page in a Chicago street fight. Rey Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido against the Golden Elite of Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, and Kota Ibushi in a six-man tag. Christopher Daniels against Stephen Mell. Madison Rayne against Britt Baker versus Chelsea Green versus Tessa Blanchard. Again, Jay Lethal defending against the winner of the Over the Budget Battle Royal. And then, the main event of the evening, a match that is just going to be absolutely spectacular no matter where you are or anywhere in the world. This will be a main event. Anyways, Kenny Omega against Pentagon Jr. This should just be fucking amazing, I would imagine. So, alright, you know what, I think that's it for me this week. I think it's going to wrap us up. So thanks for listening. Tune in next week. I'll have a new episode for you. Don't know what I'm going to talk about yet. I guarantee you one thing, it'll be wrestling related. So thanks.